I'm Femi Okeh. Welcome to the stream. Do you have a Wikipedia page? Congratulations if you do. It really is a big deal. It's one of the top 10 websites in the entire world. Earlier, we talked to US physiologist Rajini Rao about what it felt like to be on Wikipedia. This is what she told us.
When I first found out that I had a Wikipedia page about me, I was frankly flattered, chuffed, tickled pink. Because you see, Wikipedia is my go-to site for quick references on scientific pathways, discoveries, and people. And so the idea that people could come to Wikipedia and find out about my research was really quite nice. And this was not a fluff piece. It turns out that this article about me is really well researched. It's quite accurate and pretty insightful summary of the work done by my research group. So that really pleased me.
Let's dig a little deeper into Wikipedia and its impact. The first edit was made in January 2001. There are 6.6 million articles, 1.1 billion edits in over 300 languages. So who are the editors who are doing all of this work? Just take in these facts, first of all, and then let's take it out. 80% of the editors on Wikipedia are male. And that is why we're doing this show. There is a gender gap, there's gender inequity between who's doing the editing, who is being featured. And today we're going to look at some of the work that's being done to close that gap. So with us to talk about this in London, Jessica Wade. She is a physicist and research fellow at Imperial College London. Hello, Jess. In Baltimore in the US, Kira Wisniewski, executive director of the group Art and Feminism. Hi there, Kira. And in Singapore, Rosie Stevenson Goodnight, board trustee of the Wikimedia Foundation and co-founder of the Wiki Project Women in Red. So good to have you all here. All right, so this is a major issue. It's really quite stark. Jess, what happened? Why is it so many guys all over Wikipedia making the decisions, working out who is important and then writing about them? How did we get here?
Well, I think there's kind of two reasons. I mean, it's a fantastic issue and I'm super grateful that you've taken it on. But I guess one massive issue is that society doesn't do enough to recognize and celebrate women. And Wikipedia is a general interest encyclopedia and content on Wikipedia reflects societal general interest. And if society isn't doing enough to say there are amazing women artists or amazing women scientists or amazing women musicians, then the notability criteria on Wikipedia are going to reflect that gender inequity. So one is society is unequal. Yeah. And the other reason, which you alluded to in your demographics of the editors, is we just don't have enough diversity of people contributing to Wikipedia. Based around the time that Wikipedia started and the types of people who were online most, you know, 20 plus years ago, we've got this huge demographic imbalance, which means that we don't have enough diversity in that. And of those editors who are there, they're not writing enough pages about extraordinary women. So it's both society's fault and Wikipedia editors' fault.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, Kira, you know this and you're doing something about it. I'm just going to show one more stat for our audience about how many biographies there are in terms of biographies of men and biographies of women. And again, this is improved. This is an improvement from several years ago. It's gone up from 15% to 19%, but so slow. Kira, how do you speed this up?
Well, by working with a global community of information activists and just really kind of elaborating a little bit more, like piggybacking on what Dr. Jess had to say, is that anybody can edit Wikipedia, which is very exciting, but also that is... it goes to another question, and the questions of who has the resources to volunteer. We know that there's like a precarity of labor in asking people to volunteer. Places like the US where volunteering is prevalent might be one thing, but we also know that because of the pandemic, women, non-binary people, BIPOC community has all been disproportionately impacted by the pandemic. So then when we get to who even has the ability to volunteer, that really kind of like makes what we're doing a little precarious in some ways. And so what we do at Art and Feminism, though, is we try to create a community that really helps support each other in editing this huge trove of knowledge. Oh,
Rosie, what you're really doing is you're creating history, because we're not seeing this history. We're not seeing women's contribution. And so what you are doing, almost edit by edit or citation by citation, is creating history that is not being seen globally. How do you do that, Rosie?
I am so glad you brought that up, because that's what we're doing. I don't think any of us set out to be history makers. Yeah. We saw something we wanted to do, and we just went ahead and did it. But by doing it, we've become these activists and historians, I guess, in our own right. I kind of think of it, I live in California. I'm traveling right now, but I live in California in an old gold mining town from the California Gold Rush. And I think about those miners back then who were like mining for gold. And that's what we're doing. We're mining for these notable women and making sure that their stories are told, that they're exposed, so that they don't just fall by the wayside and are lost to history altogether.
Dr. Jess, you are such a disruptor. It's not easy to do what you do, which is sit and deliberately find women who are important and then create Wikipedia pages for them. I'm going to show something on my computer, which is truly stunning when we just think about it. And this is a headline from a few years ago. Female Nobel Prize winner deemed not important enough for Wikipedia entry. What the what? Dr. Jess, what are the pushbacks that you get when you say, this person's important, I've done my research, here's the page, there you go.
Well, I mean, so Donna Strickland's case is quite fascinating. Donna Strickland is the Nobel laureate in physics for, 2018, when that article came out. Mm. Someone had attempted to create a Wikipedia page about her, but they failed to find enough references, enough citations that proved to other Wikipedia editors that Donna Strickland, Professor Donna Strickland, Nobel laureate, was as notable as she is. So that wasn't inadequacy of Wikipedia. It wasn't Wikipedia overlooking her. It was that failure to find enough citations. And that really reflects society's ability to recognize and celebrate her, because not enough places were covering her story, because not enough newspapers were covering things about her, or enough profiles of her were being written. We couldn't find those citations to back it up. So that's one of the biggest challenges that I face as a Wikipedia editor. And I know that Kira and Rosie will agree that often you have these sensational women, but to be on Wikipedia, we need someone to have written about them, to have profiled them, to have told their story somewhere else, so we can cite it, so we can build that encyclopedia entry. So what I really wish was that science especially started recognizing women's contribution, people of color's contribution, people from other historically marginalized groups. Mm. We need to be giving them awards. We need to be shouting about them on television and radio programs, so that when encyclopedians and historians want to document their contributions, when classroom teachers want to talk about them, they have those places to go to for knowledge. So that's one of my biggest challenges as a advocate for women scientists, is really finding those places that are honoring them.
I am going to invite our audience who are watching on YouTube to be part of this conversation. We've got thoughts, examples, women of note who you feel should have Wikipedia pages. Do let us know on YouTube. I'm going to go to Clarice Yvonne Phelps. She has a Wikipedia page. She is an American nuclear chemist. She got a Wikipedia page. It's not that easy. She was on Wikipedia and then it was quite difficult for her to stay there. Kira, when you hear her story, can you come back at the end of it and say, what is going on here? Tell us what is going on here. And then how you do this basically this dance between you're on, you're off, you're on, you're off. Here's Clarice.
Being added to Wikipedia was actually really very exciting. I mean, it's one of the most popular places to learn about different people, places, and things. And so it was definitely an exciting moment for me. However, during the process of updating my page, it was taken down a number of times due to different editors thinking that it wasn't notable enough or that there wasn't enough sources in order to validate my page being up there. So as much as it was exciting, it was also a little disconcerting to go through that process.
Yeah, unfortunately, that experience is real. And it goes a lot to really just build on what Dr. Jess was saying on those citations. Wikipedia works on those citations. And if we as editors don't have enough to use, it can make it really challenging. And this is across all disciplines. I know that that was a scientist. I know that Dr. Jess works specifically with scientists, but even talking about in the art world. If you look at Janssen's Basic History of Western Art, which is kind of like the textbook for art history, only 8% of those 300 plus listed artists are women, and less than 1% of them are women of color. And so we just really need to not only do better in terms of like getting more editors to put people from the margins on Wikipedia, but also we need these sources. Something else that we've done at Art and Feminism, we've actually did a white paper about looking at the reliable source guidelines, because when Wikipedia was started back, you know, over 20 years ago, these reliable source guidelines were written, and it doesn't include really, I mean, we've evolved a little bit now, but there is debate now on like what is a reliable source, like what podcasts count as reliable source. And those are all kind of pretty heated discussions in some pockets of the Wikiverse on how we can get more of these citations to get more incredible people on Wikipedia.
Rosie, what is a reliable source?
Well, there's actually a policy that tells us what is a reliable source in every one of those 300 language Wikipedias, and it varies. English language Wikipedia says one thing, and for example, Sanskrit Wikipedia might say something altogether different about what's a reliable source. But basically, I can tell you what isn't a reliable source. Things like social media, things like blog posts, with some exceptions, like the New York Times blog posts would be considered acceptable. Otherwise, we're looking at things like history books and textbooks and coverage in interviews that the media might do. Those are considered reliable sources. Other than that, it starts becoming iffy.
Yeah. Dr. Jess, how do you do it? How do you write the Wikipedia entries and then feel comfortable that they're not going to have some pushback and they're not going to be taken down or added to them or people not believing that these women are worthy of having a wiki page?
I mean, I guess it's a journey, and it's a journey where you're going to find gold, which is why we do it. You know, as Rosie mentioned, you find all these incredible nuggets of information. I don't think we've done Clarice Phelps justice, but she is an extraordinarily nuclear chemist. She was part of the Navy before she took this job in a big national lab in the States. And she worked on the discovery of an element in the periodic table. And it's quite hard to discover elements in the periodic table. She contributed to the discovery of the element tennessine. And this is one of these non-naturally occurring elements. So you have to synthesize it in a lab and then be able to measure what you've synthesized. And it doesn't live for very long. So it's exceptionally cool science. And Clarice is the first Black woman to contribute to the discovery of an element in the periodic table. So she's beyond notable, right? But because the world don't celebrate her enough, it's really hard to prove that. So I keep going. Because you find out facts like that, you know, because you're inspired by those stories, because I know that me learning about her makes me more excited to do the science that I do. And also that when the world learns about her, you'll have more young women or more young people or more parents or more teachers who'll be excited about science. And I truly believe the world needs more scientists. So I kind of just pull together as many citations as I can find. If I know there's a really exceptional person who isn't getting the credit they are due, then sometimes I nominate them for awards. Sometimes I write to journalists and I'm like, you've got to cover their story. Because then actually it makes it easier to write them a Wikipedia page in a few months or years. So sometimes it's a cycle, right? Wikipedia, if you're on Wikipedia, it's easier to put you forward and nominate you for something or for a journalist to find your story. And if someone finds your story, it's easier to put you on Wikipedia. So sometimes you've kind of got to break that circle a little bit. But yeah, I keep going because these people are exceptional. Their stories are inspiring to me, and I want the whole world to find out about them.
Rosie, tell us about a person who either just resonates with you or a discovery where, I say discovery because the women already out there, the people who are not often written about, they're already there. But to have them have that moment to have their flowers, receive their flowers, to receive a certain amount of credibility, who would you tell our audience about today?
So that's actually a really hard question because I've written more than 2,000 biographies about women. But let me...
I love your humble brag, Rosie. Oh, so many thousands. Pick one.
So I guess I'm going to pick someone called Samantha LaRouche. She's a comics writer. She's French. And why I'm going to pick her over the others that I might have used is that I tend to focus on women writers, broadly construed. She is a comics creator. She writes. She's the artist. She's the illustrator. And she might actually do the lettering as well. And her article was already written in the French Wikipedia. Mm-hmm, there she is. But there was no article in the English Wikipedia. Mm. And so what I've been doing since about January of this year is a lot of translations from one language, mostly from French or Spanish or Catalan, to English Wikipedia. And I decided to focus on comics creators, like kind of like, why not? They should have their due. I want my granddaughter, who loves comics of various sorts, to be able to see, hey, there's not just these men's names or women's names that are Americans. There's comics writers who live in Argentina and live in France and live in Spain. And maybe this will give her an idea that this is something she wants to do when she gets older. So that's why I'm going to pick Samantha LaRouche.
Oh, I love that. Kira, I'm going to give you a little moment to have a think about who you would like to pick. But first, we spoke to other editors of Wikipedia pages to ask them how challenging it was to do the work that they're doing, which is expand the number of women who are not just editing, but also featured. This is what they told us.
One of the biggest challenges in writing about women for Wikipedia is the way that women's contributions have been systematically downplayed and excluded from the historical record, making writing a reliable and accurate encyclopedia entry about them often impossible.
We don't have enough female editors to write in Wikipedia. We suffer a very deep gender gap problem in the community.
The main challenge for me in this Wikimedia universe is to understand what is a notable reference in an Eurocentric versus African perspective, because all of these mainstream outlets are not telling our stories, or when they are telling them, they are not telling them in a right perspective.
Kira, it's hard. What you do is really hard. Who would you like go ahead.
Yeah, no, it is, but it's exciting work because I feel like the work that we're doing is directly impactful. And so to answer your previous question, there's a couple names that I'd love to uplift. So Art and Feminism actually is celebrating year 10 this year, which is very exciting. And we had our 10-year celebration in Houston in April, actually. And so one of the names I want to uplift from that is our organizer there, Jason Oliver. He has a story of how he went to a talk and realized that Alvea Wardlaw didn't have a page. She's the first Black PhD in art history from the University of Texas. She was a curator at the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston. And he went to a talk, realized she didn't have a page, went home, made one, and then was able to tell her about it in person, which was like a very special moment. Another page that was created at an Art and Feminism event is Awaki Azumi, who, mm-hmm. Amazing. I'm sorry, I'm just saying it all wrong. And they are a non-binary Nigerian fiction writer and video artist. And so their page was created actually by one of the co-founders of Art and Feminism at an event we had at the Museum of Modern Art. And that page has really expanded over time, which is also really exciting to kind of see a page that may have started at an Art and Feminism event and then really grown over time has also been something that's really exciting to be a part of.
I'm going to bring a...
Can I jump in?
Yeah, please. And go ahead, Dr. Jess.
So the most amazing thing is seeing people respond to the pages, like not just people who read them, because you can get Wikipedia give you access to all the information, so you can actually see how many page views there are of your Wikipedia articles every single hour. You know, it's quite extraordinary. But also how the kind of broader world responds to them. There's an amazing mathematician that I wrote about called Gladys West. She was born in Virginia. She went to a historically black college and university. She studied maths. She worked in a high school for a little bit before doing the calculations that enabled GPS. So Gladys West made it possible for us to use satellite navigation and Google Maps and Apple Maps and everything like that. It was Gladys West's maths that let that happen. I put her Wikipedia page on Wikipedia. It's been translated into a bunch of languages, but she's won all these huge awards. You know, she's over 90 now, and she's won Prince Philip Medalin Prize from the Royal Academy of Engineering that had never been given to a woman before in the entire history of the prize. Yeah. She was inducted to the US Air Force Hall of Fame. She was one of the BBC's top 100 women in the world. And it's not because it's not because she's just done something remarkable. It's because the world's just learned she's done something remarkable. You know, because her story is on a platform, on an encyclopedia that is trusted and used by everyone, because this place is the central go-to place for information, irrespective of your political background, irrespective of what you do as a profession, irrespective of your age or your nationality, everyone is on Wikipedia. So if we make sure these stories are here, if we make sure that we tell and credit women with their discoveries, you have a massive, massive impact.
I know what you're doing is you're editing Wikipedia, but really, I'm seeing three digital historians who are making sure that history is being recorded properly and with gender equity. I'm going to bring in one more Wikipedia page, and that is Julieka Latigua-Williams. I'm just reading on Wikipedia, journalist and entrepreneur. She spoke to us earlier about what it means to be on Wikipedia, and there's a but. Let's have a listen. Let's have a look.
I sort of giggled to myself quietly. There was no one else around. And then the second thought I had was, oh, this is really going to impress my kids. And of course, that made me happy. But immediately after, I felt a little sad because it was yet another reminder that women often have to be the ones we need. That if we want to have the recognition, if we want to have our work celebrated, if we want to gain any status for the work that we have already been doing, we're the ones that have to show up for ourselves. And so, of course, I'm busy. We're all busy doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. And it would be amazing to count on just a plurality of people who contribute to Wikipedia to lift up the voices of people, especially women who are doing the work.
So, Guess, I've got 30 seconds left for each of you. In the next 10 years or so, Rosie, we've got 90% of biographies who are women featured on Wikipedia. When will that be 50%?
I don't know that it's ever going to get to 50%. Women in Red was co-founded by a man and a woman. Mm. And what makes our organization different is that we don't care what your gender is.
Sure.
This is a societal problem that we have so many fewer biographies about women, and we believe that all genders are welcome and encouraged to create these articles about these notable women. Yeah. We're missing these articles now.
Thank you so much, Rosie.
That's my push.
I really appreciate that. Dr. Jess, what's the next Wikipedia page that you're going to publish, be out there? What is it? Give us a preview.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Yeah, sure. I'm working through some pages of people who became fellows and members of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Okay. They're actually pretty great at celebrating women, and I'm really fantastically excited about writing their stories up. So I'll be working through that.
Thank you, Dr. Jess. Thank you, Kira. Thank you, Rosie, as well, for being the digital historians, making sure that women are featured on Wikipedia, one of the world's top websites. Thanks for watching. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.